Lake Effect Continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Over the last couple of decades, the gender pay gap has been narrowing nationwide, but it still remains a very real problem. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum has found that here in Milwaukee County, women make around 85 cents for every dollar that a man makes. In Waukesha County, it's just 76 cents to every dollar made by a man. This disparity has a lot of consequences, and it often stems from a lot of different factors based on our cultural perceptions of gender roles. Betsy Miller and Joe Pietrangelo are the authors of the report titled Milwaukee's Gender Pay Gap Narrows But Persists, and they join Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about it.
When we look at the hard numbers in this report, obviously they have to be contextualized, but overall, without going into different factors outside of gender, what does the disparity look like here in Milwaukee County?
Overall, when we look at the median annual earnings of women compared to men, the median among women is about 85% the median among men. That's when we look at all workers who work full-time. It's different depending on what occupation you're looking at, but that's sort of the big picture view of it. So 85% in Milwaukee County, that's compared to 76% in Waukesha County and 79% nationally. So the gap is actually a little bit smaller in Milwaukee County than it is nationally, and we can get into understanding that a little bit better.
Yeah, let's dig into some of the different factors. What does the disparity look like when we account for race? That seems to have a big impact.
The data we had wasn't able to get at the level of race and gender by occupation, for example, so we couldn't get to that level. But when we look at national data, we see that Black, Hispanic, and American Indian women earn the lowest median incomes overall. So it's particularly a challenge. The gap is then bigger between women in some of those groups or all of those groups than they are among men overall. So the gap is just that much more difficult to close.
Yeah, unfortunately, that data wasn't available at the local level. It would have been really great to see that. But when you break down all of these categories, the number of people is just so small that sometimes it's not available. So,
well, I think that gets to a bigger question about these kinds of reports. I think invariably, there's a group of people who wants to cast doubt on any study that points to gender or racial inequities. How are these kinds of reports compiled? What is the kind of data that you used to create this research?
So the data that we used in this report is from the census. The American Community Survey is the yearly sort of larger survey that goes with the census. So Census Bureau data, which is available on a variety of levels. Here we've got Milwaukee County, which is the smallest one we were looking at in terms of, you know, national, state, county. And then we sort of tried to bring in a little bit of research as well to complement that to show what some of the other factors are that go into the pay gap.
And what are some of those factors?
So we looked at some academic studies. So of course, with something as complex as the pay gap, there are people who spend, you know, their entire academic careers studying this and trying to break down what that is. And we wanted to just provide sort of a high level overview of what some of those factors that go into the pay gap might be. And so that's sort of what we tried to bring into the piece as well as the census data.
So just to take a step back, the purpose of doing this study was to go beyond just looking at that high level number of what is the, you know, income of women compared to men overall. That was sort of the starting place, but our purpose was to understand that better, to get into the details of what drives it, partly by looking at differences in occupations and how women are more concentrated in certain occupations that pay lower wages, or that women are less represented in some of the highest positions within many occupations, the ones that pay the highest within a given occupation. So we wanted to understand some of those factors, and then also some of the other factors that, you know, go beyond just what occupations women are in, and get into things like caregiving. We looked at the fact that women are more likely than men to take time for raising kids or taking care of other family members, and how that plays into it, and gender discrimination, which you mentioned. We wanted to kind of give a big picture look at many of the factors because it's a very complicated picture.
It is a complicated picture. And I think when you read the report, it shows just how complicated that looks. And one of the things that you do is you created a number of charts that looks at different professions and how job choice, the kinds of professions that women tend to go into, how that can account for some of this disparity. What does that look like? How does that play out?
There are differences in where women are more and less represented, like I mentioned, in different occupational groups. So, for example, we found that women are very underrepresented in architecture and engineering and computer and mathematical occupations. Those are a couple examples of occupations that pay pretty high salaries and that women are still really underrepresented. It's only 20-21% of people in those occupations from Milwaukee County are women. And you have some occupations like healthcare support and office and administrative support that employ large numbers of women, and women are dominate in those fields, but they pay low wages, relatively low wages. Those are some of the examples. And then within certain occupations, like, for example, when we looked at the legal occupation, the biggest gap in Milwaukee County in terms of what women make versus men is in legal occupations. So that is driven by the fact that women are very underrepresented as judges and lawyers. And most of the people who work in legal support occupations, so some of the lower wage occupations within the legal field, are women. So that kind of division leads to this pay gap within that occupation. So that's just an example of the way this plays out throughout the economy.
Yeah, you mapped out what those disparities looked like inside of different occupational groups. You mentioned legal, which was pretty shocking to look at. So the reason it seems that there are these big disparities inside of each of these groups is because of the kinds of positions people tend to hold inside of, you know, the legal profession or healthcare or, you know, education.
That's definitely one factor, you know, in many fields is like I said, that in some cases, women are underrepresented in some of the highest paying positions within them. Another example was management occupation. So women in general are pretty equally represented as managers of all kinds. But when you look at top executives, only 37% of top executives are women. So that when you look at the overall pay gap, women are only making about 80% of what men are overall among people in management. So that's an example. But then those other factors that we discussed help to drive that. Things like women taking more time out of their careers are more likely to take time out for caregiving, and also, you know, gender discrimination and other factors.
Well, and that gets to another thing the report looks at, of course, is the social expectations that are placed on women. Caregiving being just one of them, but something that can have a pretty disproportionate impact on their income. What are some of these social forces that account for the disparities we see play out?
We tried to include just sort of an overview of what these are, and of course, it's hard to say exactly how much each contributes to the wage gap. So we talked about caregiving, which includes sort of women might be more likely to choose to work part-time than men, which our data looked at full-time workers, but if you include part-time workers, that would be a whole other universe of workers. Just to allow for, you know, more greater flexibility within their schedules and to balance their work and their home responsibilities.
We also talk about how there's been an evolution over time in terms of what occupations women are represented in or where they're evenly represented in. And there are still some gaps, like I mentioned, things like architecture and engineering. So there are differences in what men and women have perceived to be good career choices or appropriate career choices for them. And that's been changing over time, but it hasn't completely changed throughout all jobs where women are equally represented with men in every field.
You know, there are a lot of analyses on the amount of emotional labor, but also just physical labor in the form of housework and child rearing after work and the variety of things that come with taking care of a home that will show women are spending a very disproportionate amount of their free time, quote unquote free time, I suppose, working versus men. But it feels like such an intangible kind of thing and a really difficult thing to kind of grasp how it impacts our work. How do you incorporate that into a report?
Mm-hmm. And there are studies that try to quantify, you know, what percent of the gap is due to which factors, and reasonable people disagree on what those numbers are. But I think what generally is agreed on in the academic research is that it's a very complex issue and there's a lot of factors that go into it. And so in creating a solution, you have to find solutions that are equally complex to address the issue.
And somehow intersectional?
Yes.
So the gap is narrowing a bit here, but at what pace?
So in Milwaukee County, we compared 2010 to 2018, and we saw that the gap narrowed from women earning 81% of what men earned to 85% during that period. So there was some closing of the gap. We also saw that it had closed in Waukesha County. It had closed from 70 to 76%, and then nationally from 77 to 79%. So there is a slow closing of the gap, and that's only looking over an 8-year period. But there's also evidence that it's slowing somewhat. At least a lot of national research says that the closing of the gap is starting to slow down. And so there's no guarantee that it'll continue to close at the same pace. Initial data is showing that women are more likely than men to have lost their job due to the pandemic. And so there's a chance that that could make the pay gap actually worse over time. So that's concerning. But then on the other hand, we don't know exactly how this is going to play out. And a possible silver lining of all of this is that in a lot of different occupations, new work structures and schedules have come about, more people working from home, more flexible schedules. And a lot of the research shows that those are the things that often drive women to choose certain fields or not choose certain fields, is the lack of flexibility in their schedules. And so that is something that if that continues, at least in those fields that have started to have more flexibility, it might actually help to narrow the gap in the long term.
Betsy Miller is a researcher and Joe Pietrangelo is a senior researcher at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Their recent report titled Milwaukee's Gender Pay Gap Narrows But Persists can be found at wispolicyforum.org.